Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove. My name is Scott Wilder, and today I'm with Donnie Weinstein. Say hello.
Hey, Scott. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I've known Donnie for years, maybe, you know, close to a decade. But in the beginning, it was kind of watching him from the bleachers. He did some great work at HP, Domo, Kaltura, and other places. And right now, as of a few months ago, he's the Director of Community Strategy at SAP. So before we dig into this, maybe you can tell, I just told part of your story, but maybe you tell your story about where you started and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So like everything else, I mean, you know, Adrian Sparrow's got a great book out called The Accidental Tool of Community Manager. And I think that, you know, for many of us, we kind of, you know, we didn't have this, you know, plan around the graduate school to be a, you know, community leader. And that's sort of my path as well. So I spent many years at HP after graduate school, and was most of my career there was in support and services. So many, always a customer-facing role, and was fortunate to be on the ground floor with the HP social care team back in 2007. And our charter was to build out branded HP support forums. You know, back in the days, IT wanted to build everything, and, you know, they told us it's going to take us 4 years to build it. We said, can't wait 4 years. And so we got permission to go external, invented the two powerhouses at the time, which were Lithium and Jive. We went with Lithium and had really a great run with them. So in that 7 year period, my last 7 years at HP and the social care team, we built and scaled 7 language communities for HP support, global footprints, so English, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Simplified Chinese, and Korean. Really grew those to pretty amazing scale. I mean, 2 million members. We were driving 100 million customers a year in traffic by the time I left. But more importantly, we became one of Lithium's biggest customers. So I was very fortunate to learn from some of the smartest people at the time in the space, to Drew Cockrell and Brian Oblender and many others who were on that team at Lithium. And so I was really one of the original three who was responsible for the launches, but also during that time, refined my skills on community management, community leadership, mentoring the teams in Amsterdam, people like Wendy Skippers to oversee French and German, the Sao Paulo team for Spanish and Portuguese, and the Singapore team for Simplified Chinese and Korean. And so from there, I was recruited by Domo at the end of 2014 and had a 5+ year run with them, built out their B2B community in the SaaS space, and really covered everything soup to nuts, not just around building out a support deflection community, which was what we have for HP, but also owning, you know, driving the value for education, really driving advocacy in the experience, building out their MVP program, and all that. And then from there, I moved on and went over to another unicorn pre-IPO, Kaltura, the end of 2020, and began the process to build out their B2B community. Unfortunately, that didn't work out very well long term. And so this past 2 months, over the summer, I spent talking to quite a number of brands. I was very fortunate to land at SAP. And so right now at SAP, you know, they have a rich history of community. They've been doing it for more than 20 years. Even back in the heyday, I mean, people like Eric Okolu built out the Trailblazer community. Used to benchmark the SAP community back in the early days of Trailblazer, because that's where the SAP community had been. And so right now there's an opportunity for us to kind of do a refresh and take the SAP community to the next level. So I've been hired as the Director of Community Strategy, and we're looking at a 5-year plan, and it's an exciting time.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been around the community block quite a bit. So the first question that comes to mind is, you know, what's changed? Like, you know, if you go back in time, you know, what was going on then and how has it changed in terms of today? You know, community is a buzzword today. I mean, everybody's talking about community. Everybody wants to be community led. So tell us, like, you know, based on your experience, how you see things have changed over time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think back in the day, forums or online communities were very niche. So you had a support community that sat in support. You had a developer community that sat in you know, engineering or the dev world. You had, you know, an advocacy community that typically sat in marketing. And no one really thought about it beyond that particular vertical. It was, okay, this is nice to have value add. It's driving value for that particular executive in that particular vertical. I certainly saw that, you know, in the HP days, we're part of a very massive sport organization. I think our budget, what I left was more than $1 billion for all the call center activity. And so, but again, the value that was really driven specifically for the sport organization. I think what we're seeing now, especially in the B2B world, you know, community is becoming what I would call the new horizontal. It drives value across the business. So it can drive value for your support organization. It can drive value for education with user-generated content. It can drive value for product through voice of customer and ideation. And really probably the biggest dollar value for the company comes in the form of advocacy. And so this is something that takes time. It takes time to develop and nurture and grow. But if you build up a base of super fans and influencers and advocates, then those folks really are the biggest brand advocates. They drive value in the account that they are at, and also with their peers throughout the industry. And you see that with, you know, Salesforce, I think, is the gold standard where everyone's looking at Trailblazer community and the work they do, and the army of Trailblazers that show up at Dreamforce and say, oh, I want my brand to be like that too. And so today, it's now not the shift has really gone from something nice to have to this is now a business requirement. It's a must have. And the key thing, I think, is that still today, there's still a lot of education that has to happen. It's what does community mean? Because as you said, it's become quite a buzzword. And, you know, there are some who think, oh, this is just going to help drive sales or help get, you know, lead gen. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. The reality is that community is about nurturing and developing a relationship with your customer base and growing that and nurturing it and driving value by driving a great experience. And not about flooding these customers with sales leads or sales materials. And so it's a long game. It's typically not a quick win that you're going to start out with a new community, and you need to have a refined strategy or a strong strategy around, you know, how do you start? How do you start small? How do you start to tap into those key players and really nurture that and grow? And then you can derive value across the business. So I think that, yeah, what I've seen the change happen is from this being niche to it really drives value across the business. And you know, you need to think about it as an operational element of your business. And so it can, you know, historically it used to sit somewhere, whether it be in support or marketing or product. And, you know, today inside of SAP, we're actually part of the education ecosystem. It's a very large organization, more than 1,000 people. And they see community as the onboarding for the gateway to learning and growing. So again, the B2B world, The number one reason why B2B professionals spend time in communities is really top level their skills. Because at the end of the day, they're using your product as part of their job. And so they want to get better at their work game. The way to do that is through learning, education, and connecting with their peers. So sitting within that organization is actually ideal for what we're trying to do here at SAP. I think longer term, you know, community where it should sit ultimately, there should be a chief community officer reporting to the CEO. I don't think that time has come yet. Hopefully in the future, that's going to happen.
But do you think there should be a chief, you said the chief community officer, how would that person work with the chief customer officer?
Well, that's a great question. Because even in my previous role at Kaltura, I sat under, before I left it, under the chief customer officer. And so it should be that the two become interchangeable, because at the end of the day, you're managing, you know, if community is fully implemented and constructed and engaged with your customer base, you're effectively can manage your customer relationships for a community. Yeah. So I would imagine that those two roles would be one and the same at the end.
Yeah. Now I remember your experience. That's why I was bringing it up. And it's funny you talk about, you know, where it should sit in the org. You know, it was back in 2010 or so, but at Intuit, you know, we moved community every 6 months. And the strategy there was to get the community in the DNA of every group, right? So we, you know, we talk a lot about cross-functional work, but even HubSpot came out this week with a blog post about how, you know, working cross-functionally is still not happening, and they quantify it based on survey data. And so, you know, back then we believed that it's just hard to, you know, change things, you know. At Marketo, we sat on different floors, and it was funny, like nobody in marketing would go to the third floor where product sat, right? So you know, we had, when I was at Intuit, we basically moved the community group. And I think the area that I felt most comfortable in was the product group, because we really wanted to embed it into the product experience. And it's an interesting time. You know, I should have asked up front, like, you know, what does community mean to you? And, you know, if you were going to coach other people who are kind of new in the industry, how do you think they should be thinking about community?
That's a great question, Scott. So I'm having that discussion even today at SAP. And so it's certainly not limited to, or not only, let's say, the domain, like in our case, it would be community.sap.com. That is not really, that does not encompass community. That is simply the digital property we own or manage. And the way that I think about it, it's really, where are you engaging with your customers? That's truly your, and where are they engaging with each other? So if you think about the digital assets that are out there, clearly there's the domain of the brand that I own. But then, of course, there's other places where customers choose to be, whether it be on Twitter, LinkedIn, GitHub, Stack Overflow, YouTube, all of the above. So it's having the right tools in place, you know, whether it's regular or course listed engaged product or something else that's out there, even Common Room, to have that funnel to track the conversations that are brand. But then also realize you need to be engaging with these potential, the existing influencers and or the rising stars on those channels, and ultimately try to bring them over to your main hub. That's sort of, you know, the digital ecosystem. But then beyond that, there's also the ecosystem of, well, where am I meeting my customers in person? And to becoming a SAP, there's this massive ecosystem of user groups in the Americas, in Europe, in Asia. And, you know, I think there's opportunity to, you know, I would say consolidate that, but at least have a better engagement with a broader team and think about how do we measure, you know, the engagement with those customers there. So that collectively, you have that. But then, of course, if you even bring in, again, think about a large enterprise like SAP, you have to include your employees and your partners, because they're a key element to the conversation. But collectively, it's really anybody that has an affinity to your brand wants to have a conversation about the brand and about the product. That essentially is your community. And so that would even include prospects. You know, the way that I like to pitch community is, you know, it's like creating a cafe. And so if you have any, you had an interest or an affinity to talk about the brand, you'd be able to come in the front door and have a seat at the table. And as you start to have the conversations, I'm actually, you know, interested in this area, then you'd get access to, you go to a specific group that might have that more granular conversation. Or if you are, you know, now an influencer or an emerging VIP, you get access to the VIP room. So all of the above, I think you need to look at it holistically. And again, if you're starting out in the space, you don't need to boil the ocean. I think that, you know, if you're running a business, you're effectively already having conversations with your customers. And so the way to think about it is, okay, well, where are those conversations taking place? So you have conversations with support. There's conversations happening with the sales team, with the account executives, with the CSMs. And so they should be able to direct you, okay, who do I need to talk to? And you get a collection of 10, 20, 30 key customers to have a discussion. All right, we're thinking about building out a formal, you know, community or forum, and incubate that with them and create a beta and start to, you know, and again, it could start small on a Slack channel or even a Facebook group, but ultimately you want to merge it or migrate that to a property that you can own with the full suite of management tools and analytics. And so yeah, from that, you can then grow, you know, your community programs.
So yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah, I like how you're thinking about it, the cafe approach. So I'm curious where community sits in your organization, and is it in the same group as these employees who are managing, you know, relationships on Twitter, LinkedIn, GitHub, et cetera?
Yeah. So today, at least where I sit and where my colleagues and my media team sit, when this is the broader community team, so it's an operational team, the developer team, the strategy team, we all roll up to a VP who reports up to our chief learning officer. And so we're part of the learning and development organization within SAP. Now, it's not fully encompassing to your point. So we have most of the experience, at least under one organization, but there are definitely elements that are beyond our media organization. So for example, the marketing team that own the listening application, such as Frank, that sits outside our organization. So now we're working with them to, again, strengthen that relationship and figure out how do we work more closely and also get our business requirements into the applications that they're looking to license. The same is true with, you know, product feedback or even feedback on the platform. That's run by the product organization. It sits outside of where we sit. And, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for us to bring value to them through, you know, community work. So, you know, and then of course, you know, support sits outside of our organization as well. And that's a key player for, you know, community value. So
yeah,
driving, you know, they, value relationship building across the organization is sort of one of the things that I'm sure with dinner.
Yeah. No, I know it's not easy. At HubSpot, midway point through my journey, we had somebody who managed non-owned communities and owned communities, owned almost analogous to brand, you know, branded communities. But since then, they've put it all under the same person who is a VP of community-led growth. So yeah, so I think it's definitely a challenge for a lot of these organizations because they do, right? They're talking to somewhat the same people, right? And, you know, there's two different groups managing the social side. And then actually it's probably more than two groups at SAP, right? Because it's such a big company. But at the medium size and smaller companies, you still have two people, you know, one person managing community, one person managing social. So, you know, if you think about, you mentioned advocacy and community, how do you think about like the advocacy person versus a community champion? And what sort of, you know, how do you approach it from a program perspective? And how does, you know, do you see any companies really doing a good job in that space?
Oh, it's a great question. So, you know, even in my current role, it's definitely a challenge. There's a lot of balls in the air right now, as far as that's concerned. And again, it's having a number of conversations with different players across the company to, you know, discuss kind of, you know, get a sense of the current state. You know, there is a legacy mentors and champions program that's been out there for many, many years, but then there's other things that are happening too. And I think that there's an opportunity to take a step back and look at it, have a more holistic view of, again, it's the activity engagement on our properties that we own, digital assets we don't own, number one. Then of course, looking at it as well, all the meetups, either in person or virtual, who are the most active members there? Who are the influencers there? And then cross-pollinating that, okay, where are they showing up in different places? But having a more holistic view in addition to, I think, refining or coming up with a overall MVP program and gamification plan that can address the entire ecosystem. So it's going to require a fair amount of thought. That's what we're starting to work on in partnership with different organizations. But I think we have an opportunity to do it and to do it really well. And I think as far as who's doing it, you know, who's doing it best, I mean, I mentioned Salesforce early. I mean, they are kind of, that's kind of gold standard. Everybody looks at the Trailblazer community as kind of, you know, they're doing it. In fact, I was on a podcast a few months ago with, you know, another peer of ours. And, you know, he was telling me a story about, he went to a park with his kid in Florida. And, you know, it was a bunch of people barbecuing on the weekend. And it turns out it was just a local Salesforce meetup, completely user run. So, you know, again, the ecosystem here is just massive. And as I said earlier, there's millions of people that have this affinity toward SAP. So it's a matter of doing, I think, a refresh to think about it a little bit more holistically and coming up with a standardization that's manageable across all of those things. It's not just about the digital keyboard warrior that is on our property or on GitHub, but also looking at it again, where's the activity taking place and who are these folks, and making sure we're developing, nurturing those relationships and also for recognizing their efforts, but also integrating it with the education track and learning track and the organization that we have. So, you know, and it's kind of a work in progress, but, you know, if we had some sort of, you know, virtual currency that we can award them with, you know, they could then use those points or those coins or those whatever we want to call it toward, you know, certifications, up-leveling those skills, in addition to, of course, things that most people are sort of run to, which is not the golden ticket here, I think, for B2B world. You know, if it's different, you know, water bottle or bag or swag, whatever it may be, an SAP t-shirt. Yeah, everybody loves that stuff, but the lifetime value of swag has diminishing returns. The much more powerful things for the B2B professionals that are, and again, that's the number one driver why they're out there in community to begin with, is recognizing their knowledge and their skill sets. And you do that by either a level, you know, leaderboard in a community or ecosystem, or, you know, they've hit a certain level or a certification. They're now, you know, level 2 admin, level 3 admin, whatever it may be. Something they can actually tangibly put on their LinkedIn profile, on their resume, and go to their manager and say, hey, you know, I'm now recognized as this expert. You know, I deserve a raise. Or you go across the street and work for, you know, company B. So that's how we need to think about it.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned earlier that you're part of you report up into somebody who's in charge of the learning area at SAP, which I really like. I think that's nice. You know, one of the things that I'm working on here is integrating learning and community, calling it collaborative learning. Some people like to call it community learning. Some people like to call it social learning. I know social learning is not correct if you Google that, but I'm just curious how you guys are thinking about that and how you're operationalizing bringing those two groups together, a more kind of learning, traditional web academy approach, as well as a community.
Yeah. So it's an evolution. I mean, you know, our C-level Max Wessel has done a great job, I think, of putting together this 1,000-person organization around learning the last several years. And part of that activity included bringing in and consolidating the entire community team under one leader within those organizations. That's one element. And then more importantly, getting the executive buy-in up the food chain all the way to the CEO about how important this is. And so I think there's a common agreement and vision that community is the gateway, it is the on-ramp for learning. And like anything else, if you can provide your customers with better tools and applications to make better use of your products and to use it more, it's the ABCs of business. If your customers use your product more, they're going to buy more. It's going to be sticky. They're going to create a thirst for the product. And that's really where advocacy, you know, is driven and customer retention is driven. So they get that. And that's sort of one thing that attracted them to the role was this, the fact that that was already in place. And we got that executive buy-in to, you know, help drive action. So the long-term thing right now, they're in, you know, different systems. It's a different experience. There's different logins. There's a lot of mountains we've got to move to, you know, consolidate and make it a unified experience. And once we get there, have, you know, this integrated experience that's cross-pollinated, but also, you know, again, if you're starting or if you're engaging a conversation around, you know, Concur or S/4HANA or, you know, or BTP, what are these, you know, these different SAP use cases? Well, you know, what's Blue Sky Community? It's actually, we already know who you are. We know what your interests are. We know what posts you've engaged in. And so you can start with the surface. Oh, you know, you now have a level 3 community. You're fully engaged in this vertical on S/4HANA. Here's a new course that you haven't taken yet. We already know what courses you have taken. You have to pop that up or you have a link to that, or, you know, have a real-time suggestion for that customer and community about this new course, this new offering, this new certification that's tied to that conversation. And vice versa, if they're in training or they're taking a webinar, they're in a course, have a feed for the latest conversations on that particular topic. So you're making it a seamless experience and they don't have to re-log in and grab new credentials as you navigate from one to the other and drive a great experience. So that's kind of, you know, where we're going, but it's going to take some time to get there.
Yeah. Well, those people, when they reach a certain level, you can turn them into teachers as well, you know, or as, mm-hmm. as guides. Yeah. Absolutely. Funny, when many years ago, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, I was actually consulting to SAP when HANA first came out. And one of the things we were looking at is, you know, we basically looked at the data science world and community and said that at a high level, there's people who are teaching and people who are learning. And because data science was relatively new at the time. And so we're trying to figure out at what point somebody got to in the community so that we can then turn them into, you know, really empower them to teach those who are new to data science.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have all those documents if you want to see them. Anyway, so we're going to wrap up soon. Is there anything I haven't asked you today about your experience in community or SAP that, you know, you thought, hey, Wilder, you should have asked me?
Oh, wow. So, you know, I would just reiterate, again, community is more, you know, all of us professionals are on a journey here. And I think we're still not yet where we need to be. I think that, you know, many of us aspire to become or at least get this level of a VP SVP or even chief community officer at some point. And I think we need to think about it as a core and key business operation and not just this nice to have. That's number one. You know, I think if you run into folks that are, you know, it feels like this is just a buzzword. Their objective is normally not about, you know, community. I think, again, like my key takeaway here is, key, you know, community is not about lead gen. It is about nurturing and developing that relationship. And it is a long game. And it requires investment and requires time. And so as you're going through this process, especially if you're starting out, the key is to really get that buy-in, make sure you've got the investments and resources, in, you know, to be successful in the first couple of years. And start small and collect that, you know, curate that core group that's going to help get you to the next level. I think beyond that, as you start thinking about, all right, well, how do we grow? You know, one that we didn't really touch upon, we didn't hold up the session just about this, is how do you, you know, knock down hurdles to reduce friction in the overall experience and how do you engage more people? And so in one way that could be, you know, clearly having a seamless digital experience is a must-have. But I think as we, you know, look into the future with AI and these various, you know, digital identification applications, we didn't think about how do we make it even easier. But then longer term, there's a whole thing we can talk about as far as localization language, especially in a global company. It's not just about translating existing content. I think that for may not be for every country and region, but there's definitely markets where in order to drive a much larger growth in that particular language or country, you're going to have to deliver a fully localized experience. And that means having the entire experience soup to nuts in that local language, but also have people that not only speak the language, but that understand the culture. You know, that have lived in Japan or lived in China or lived in Korea, but that understand, you know, not only what's being talked about in the community, but also the nuances and how to manage that conversation from a community management perspective, moderator perspective, and so on. So maybe for next time.
Yeah, no, we should get you back on the show and talk about international. I actually, you know, no, this, that was really, you know, really helpful what you just said. I think, you know, majority of the audience right now is in the US, but we need to think broader than that. So I think it'd be great to get you back on and just talk about how to go global. Think, what is it? Go global, think local.
Yeah.
So, and then one last question I like to ask everybody when they come on the show is, so who or what has influenced you the most or influenced you a lot in terms of your professional career, your professional development and career?
Oh, wow. Sure.
Too many to name.
So I think in the community world, you know, definitely a shout out to Joe Cothrell. He's been an amazing mentor over the years. Certainly Brian Oldinger, David Evans from Lithium Days. Those are all have just been great mentors, friends, colleagues, to a sense in the community world. You know, and then professionally, I just have had two, you know, amazing managers. So, you know, Lois Townsend from HP Days, and certainly, you know, Donna Pollack, my short time at Kaltura.
That's great. I'll have to Google those guys and just learn more about them. Anyway, Donnie, thank you for joining us today, and we will get you back for the global local conversation. So thanks again, everybody, for joining Customer-Led Groove. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, and even Alexa. So thanks a lot. Oh, my Alexa just went off, so I got to go turn it off. Thank you, Donnie.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.